I welcome you this week to part three of our series called Heroes of Faith. In this series, we are looking through the list in Hebrews 11 of those who are called faithful, the heroes of faith, the roll call of faith. So if you have your Bibles or your devices, you'll want to put a finger in Hebrews 11. You'll also want to turn to Genesis chapter 6 as well this morning. And as we've begun this series, we started to say that verse 6 of Hebrews 11 is a key to understanding these heroes of faith. And Hebrews 11, 6 says this, "It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." That's our key. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we're told that these heroes believed that God existed, that they trusted God, and we also see that they sincerely were seeking after God. In our last session in this series, we looked at two of the first people listed on this roll call of faith. We looked at Abel, and we saw how Abel was the first recorded worship of God, that he gave to God with the gift from deep inside of his heart. He gave with all of his being, and he worshiped in faith. Then we looked at Enoch. And Enoch's a remarkable story. He's a man who walked with God and then walked into heaven. Enoch, the man who walked with God. He lived in fellowship with God. He lived in obedience to who God is. Enoch lived a life that demonstrated faith. So today we come to Hebrews 11 and we've gone through Abel and Enoch, and we come to the next person listed in Hebrews 11. Verse 7. Says, "It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world. He received the righteousness that comes by faith." The story of Noah. Everybody in the world knows about the story of Noah, don't they? Even if they don't really know the story of Noah, they know about Noah. Talking about rain is like talking about Noah in a bad rainstorm. Right? People make the joke, "It rains so hard, I expect to see the animals come two by two." What are they saying? They know something about the story of Noah. We have a few other examples of that in Scripture. Everybody knows a David versus Goliath syndrome, right? When the small guy is taking on the big guy. Right? But they don't really know. And because Noah is that name that is so well known, sometimes we think we know. It's a story we've read. If you grew up going to Sunday school, it's a story that all the Sunday school classes teach. Because it's a great story for kids to teach them about faith and a man and an ark and a boat. So our scripture called it a boat, and most of us are familiar with the term the ark. But you'll notice in that verse that we read in verse 7 that these things happened that had never happened before. See, part of the story about Noah is those who study believe that that story of Noah, that flood, that boat, that ark, was the very first time rains fell from the sky in the history of the world. It's the first time that possibly water gushed up from within the crust of the earth. And see, before that, when God built the Garden of Eden and in the beginning of time, that everything was paradise. Remember, it was perfect. And it's like the waters, the vegetation would just be watered from the bottom up every night. Just, you know, nobody had to water their flowers. Isn't that great? Imagine, you never had to water your flowers. They always grew big and lush. And the time of Noah is believed to be the first time rains happened. And this flood ever happened. First time that the crust of the earth and maybe the plates moved and waters gushed. And so that's why that verse in Hebrews 11 says things that had never happened before. A flood had never happened before. Heavy rains had never happened before. That's what it's talking about. And so we read the story of Noah. If you go with me to Genesis chapter 6. All right, it's the story of Noah. Begins in verse 9. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on the earth at that time. That's quite a statement. He walked in close fellowship with God. Reminds you of Enoch. By the way, Enoch is his great-great-grandfather. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them out along with the earth. Build a large boat. We often call it an ark. Build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout the interior. Make the boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat. Put a door on the side and build three decks inside the boat, a lower, middle, and upper. Look, I'm about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy every living thing that breathes. Everything on earth will die. But I will confirm my covenant with you. So enter the boat, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring a pair of every kind of animal, a male and female, into the boat with you to keep them alive during the flood. Pairs of every kind of bird and every kind of animal and every kind of small animal that scurries along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. And be sure to take on board enough food for your family and for all the animals. So Noah did everything as God had commanded him. And we're told two things right off the top in this story. This story tells us two things. Number one, evil was out of control. Look at the description of the world. It's a violent world. It's a corrupt world. Everyone is corrupt. We're told that Noah is the only righteous man that God could find on the earth in that time. Evil. Evil is wild in the world. That man had lost his reason for living, and God created mankind to have relationship with God. And here is mankind in Noah's days who has no thought for God, no relationship for God, no desire for God, not looking for God, not trying to find God, not even wondering about God, not even saying, God, are you there? And God was hurt by the way that man was carrying on in the world that he created, in the mankind that he gave life to. The earth had become so corrupt that God was going to put an end to all people. So number one, evil was out of control. Number two, Noah found favor in God's eyes. Noah was a different man in his generation. I already told you, he is the great-great-grandson of Enoch. Enoch who walked with God and walked into heaven. So somewhere the influence of Enoch must have carried down in the generations of his family. And there is Noah who lives in the shadow of his great-grandfather. And God saw what he liked in this man named Noah. He was a man of integrity. Here is a man like his great-great-grandfather Enoch who walked with God. He did not live in and indulge in the godlessness that was around him. He stood out above the godlessness of his day. And so God speaks to Noah and directs him to build this ark. Now, as we sit here so far removed from Noah, it's not that big a deal to us because many of you have been on big ships. Some of you have been beautiful cruise ships. You've sailed the oceans. You've gone other places. Others have been on airplanes and you've gone to faraway places. But you have to understand who Noah is. You need to understand that Noah is probably living in the middle of desert area. He's not living, you know, he's not even on a, from what we could tell, he's not even on a coastal place. Probably can't even see the ocean from where he is. Here's Noah in the middle of dry land. And God says to him, I want you to build an ark. A what? An ark. Well, what is an ark? Well, we call it a boat. What is a boat? What is a boat? Well, I'm going to tell you how to make it. What am I making? You're making an ark. And God gets pretty specific about it if you read. So it's 450 feet long and 75 feet wide. So it's wider than this auditorium is long. Build a boat, an ark. And then he tells him what kind of wood to build it out of, how to fix the wood. He tells him that there's three levels. I don't know who wants to be on the bottom level, but that's okay. When you think of, anyways, you get it. It's full of animals. He's got all this direction. And Noah says to him, God says to Noah, build an ark. And Noah has to trust God. He has to trust God. It's not always easy to trust God. It's not always easy to trust God when you don't understand what God is saying to you. Build a boat. Make it this big by this long by this high. Build it with an 18-inch opening so that the smell can escape. I think that's the reason. Yeah, it's ventilation, but I think it's so the smells can escape. Here they are building a boat. But notice this. God gave Noah the word. God gave Noah the instructions. God gave, in essence, God gave Noah the blueprint. But notice this. Noah had to do the work. Noah didn't get to go under a nice shaded tree and say, okay, God, here I sit in the middle of the desert. Make the boat appear. Lord, I just pray that I've really heard you and confirm your word to me over and over and over and over again because I want to be sure. And there's nothing wrong with being sure. In fact, we need to be sure, but we need to decide how much are we being sure and how much are we being afraid. And so Noah and his sons would build this ark, this boat. I want you to know something about the directions that God gave to Noah. It's 450 feet long and 75 feet wide, which is considered to be a 1-to-6 ratio. Now, modern naval architecture reveals to us in modern times that this 1-to-6 ratio is the safest ratio to build a boat by. With a boat that is built by a 1-to-6 ratio, that boat almost is impossible to overturn. So before modern architecture, naval architecture could tell us, God told us, build the boat 450 feet long and 75 feet wide, because God knew that that boat would stand the test of the flood and bring no harm to its inhabitants. So Noah has work to do. You don't build a boat like that overnight, do you? Noah's got to go down and probably cut trees down and shave those trees into planks and fashion those planks into an ark and waterproof that ark. And away he goes and away they go and they start making it. He has work to do. You know, sometimes we do the opposite of Noah. Sometimes we think that we're going to be so spiritual that we're just going to sit and study and understand and pray. Sometimes we get so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. Sometimes. Noah heard the word of God and obeyed. And because he obeyed the word of God, he and his family were saved. What about you? Are there things that God has spoken to you about? Are there things that God has pointed out in your life? Are there things that God has asked you to do? Have you put off what God has spoken to you because you're waiting for him to confirm and confirm and reconfirm and reconfirm and reconfirm? And instead of being a person of action, you're a person of waiting. What about you? Are you afraid to step out and obey God? Noah teaches us that we need to get to work. But not only did Noah get to work, Noah warned the people. We're told that Noah preached to the men of his generation about the coming judgment. I also assume that poor Noah went through some ridicule. Hey, Noah, what you doing? I'm building an ark. Noah, what do you need an ark for? Well, you see, there's going to be all this water and you're all going to drown in the water. You know what? You're crazy. You're just a crazy old man. You're just crazy. Aren't you Enoch's great-great-grandson? What, didn't he go crazy? Didn't he just disappear one day? Maybe your family's crazy. Maybe there's something in your bloodline that's crazy. Noah, you're crazy. And so they built this ark. We don't know how long it took, but I guarantee you it had to take at least more than a year. Probably took more than 5 years. If it were me building it, we'd still be building it. Because I wouldn't know what I was doing. But Noah builds this big, big, big ark in the middle of the desert. And yet he warns the people. I think every time that Noah went to work and they ridiculed him, I think he took an opportunity to tell them about what was coming. How do I know that? Because Peter, the apostle Peter, writes in his letter, 2 Peter 2:5, he says, "And God did not spare the ancient world, except for Noah and the seven others in his family. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. So God protected Noah when he destroyed the world of ungodly people with a vast flood." Noah warned the people. And you probably know how this story ends. That once the ark was constructed and once all the food supplies were brought in, because God told Noah to do that, and once all the animals were in, and it's true that God sent the animals. We're not sure if all of them or most of them, but God sent the animals, and the others Noah grabbed. And he got them all in the ark. And when he and his family got in the ark, the Bible paints a picture that God shut the door. And I think that was a moment of grace for Noah. Because could you imagine being Noah? If you had control of the door and the people start banging on the ark, "Let me in, let me in, let me in." Humanity inside of you would just break. The natural reaction is save people, help them. But if God closes the door, Noah can't open it. That's not scriptural. That's just my reading of gospel. And the rains begin. They're all in there, animals and family, and the rains begin. And the Bible tells us it rained 40 straight days and 40 straight nights. Okay, you get fed up with 2 days of intermittent rain. Come on. We've just gone through our rainy season. 40 days and 40 nights, nonstop torrential rain. Think about that. Bible paints the picture for us that Noah and his family and those animals spent over a year in the ark. Over a year confined. By the time the waters receded and it was dry after the 40 days of nights of rain, it took almost a year. So it was just over a year till they were able to open that door and get out. God started over with one righteous man and his family. We'll read it again, verse 7 of our text. Look at it now with that understanding. It says, "It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he was received the righteousness that comes by faith. Things that never happened before. Noah is a hero of faith because he had faith. He had faith in God. That he had faith that God existed. He had faith in God's word. He had faith that when God spoke to him about building a big boat in the middle of the desert, it was something he had to do. He had faith in God's plan. That what God told him to do was worth doing, and that what God told him to do was necessary for him to do to accomplish what God wanted. He had faith in believing the things he did not understand. Imagine that. I'm building a big boat in the middle of the desert because there's coming a flood to rain that I have never seen or understood before. He had faith. He had faith that the ark would work. Can you imagine? Kind of have faith that I did this right. You know, I made it the way you said, God, and I'm hoping I did it right, because if not, if this ark springs a leak, we're all in trouble. He had faith that God's plan would work. He had faith that he did hear God correctly, and he was willing to obey what he heard. Noah's faith led him to be called righteous. Noah is not righteous because of what he did. This is the key. He is righteous because of who he believed and obeyed. Our world places our worth on what we do. God places his worth on who you are. Our world wants to place faith on the things that we accomplish, but God places his worth on you, on who you are, that you would believe that God exists and he exists for you, that you would believe that God speaks to you and you would be willing to obey what God says to you. Do not measure worth the way this world measures worth. God measures your worth by a totally different scale. Noah's faith led him to be called righteous, not because of what he did, but because of who he believed and obeyed. Would you stand with me this morning? Noah is a hero because he lived by faith. He was a man who walked with God. He built an ark in the middle of the desert. Yes, that's what he did. But he did it because he believed in God. He believed in a flood, even though the world had never really probably seen rain. He worked many long years building this ark, while others probably laughed and ridiculed him. Noah is a hero because he lived by faith. What about you? Are you willing to live by faith? Are you willing to live by faith? You see, to say it is easier than to do it. It's harder than it sounds. It's not always easy to live by faith. It's not often popular to live by faith. Are you willing to live by faith? You'll have to believe God for the things that you do not understand. When you hear God speak into your spirit, when you hear God give you certain directions that you may not understand, are you willing to live by faith? If you're going to live by faith, you'll probably have to do the things that you've never done before. Noah never built an ark before. Noah never cared for that many animals at one time. Sometimes if you're going to live by faith, God's going to ask you to do something you've never done before. If you're going to live by faith, you're going to have to choose to obey God, even when you would rather not. That's the hard part. Oh, we all want to obey God when it goes along with what I want. But what happens when you are called to obey God for something He wants, not what you want? It's not always easy. To live by faith means you have to hold on to your belief in God, even when there's nothing else to see, except for the truth that you know is deep within you, except for the fact that you know that God spoke to you, except for the fact that you know that God has led you and is leading you. I'm sure there were times when Noah wondered in the middle of building that ark in the desert, God, I really, really hope I heard you right. Because if not, I'm the one that looks stupid, not you. There are times in our, as we journey in our faith journey with God, that we say similar things. God, like, are you really there? God, did I really hear you? God, is your word still relevant? God, what about that promise you made? Are you willing to live by faith? Are you willing to live by faith? Just ask you to close your eyes as we prepare to pray. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you've not thought much about God or the Bible. Maybe you've not thought much about Noah. It's just a cute kid's story. But as you hear the story of Noah this way, as you understood what it took for him to be a man of faith, to walk out what God said, as you're standing here this morning, you realize that God is asking you to walk the way Noah walked. To walk with God, to have relationship with God, to know God. Maybe some of you are fighting what God has been saying to you. Maybe it doesn't make sense to your mind. Maybe it doesn't make sense because your knowledge is interfering with what God is speaking to your heart, and you're having this battle between knowledge and heart, head and heart. And I want you to know this morning that God never contradicts himself. That God is aware of your struggles. But God values you not for what you do, but for who you believe. I'm asking you this morning, are you willing to believe God? Are you willing to trust God with every part of your life, with every part of your being? Are you willing to follow God? Are you willing to live by faith in God? I'm asking you in this very moment, with your eyes closed, your heart bowed, that you would answer that question. Am I willing to live by faith? Am I willing to trust God with everything? There's only two answers, yes or no. Are you willing to live by faith? Are you willing to trust God? Are you willing to give God your life? Are you willing to do the things that God tells you to do in the Bible? You don't need an angel and a word from God, although those things are great and they happen and I believe in them. But what it starts with the word of God, the Bible he's given us. He wrote you a book to understand him. Are you willing to live by faith? I hope your answer is yes. It's not always easy. It's often going to be hard. Sometimes it's downright difficult. Are you willing to live by faith? Are you willing to trust God at his word? Are you willing to live by faith? Are you willing to live by faith? My hope for you today is you say, yes, God. My hope for you today is you say, yes, God. I'll trust you with everything. I'll give you everything. I'll do what you ask me to do. I'll be what you call me to be. Are you willing to live by faith? Father, we give you all the honor and glory.